It's a beautiful day to begin a Leinster campaign. I am on the way to Portlaoise to begin a Leinster Championship campaign. Finalist last season. Can we go one more battle this season? Well, first hurdle is Wexford. This is the Wexford Talking Points podcast, brought to you by Specsavers Drogheda. But first, Oasis. Sing it loud and sing it proud today. I'm just turning down Brian Kerr on the way down. I decided just to go for the second game, not have a look at Wicklow and Kildare. And I'm worried about the parking. I'm always worried about parking, getting there early. I'm always just slagged off at home about that, being too early. So I should be there in time enough to get in, park and walk in and sample maybe the end of that Wicklow-Kildare game. Will O'Sheen do it again? I don't know. I don't think so. I think Kildare will do a job on them and they'll be ready. They'll be ready for us, hopefully. It's us. But I don't have any real fear. I have a little tiny bit of trepidation, but like that's always the way with any kind of loud game, regardless of the grade or age or sex or gender or whatever. I just a little bit of more worry about the pitch. How is the pitch going to be? Is that going to suit the underdog? Big heavy pitch after the Laois defeat last night to Offaly and the game today, Kildare and Wicklow, and then Loud go out on it now. It's one of those old school pitches as well, where it does have a bit of a turn in the sod. It's not one of these rock hard ones, so that's what I'm just a little bit worried of. Will that level the playing field a little bit more? Heavy dogged pitch, cut up pitch, slips and bubbles and what robs, gives the underdog a slight chance. But yeah, that's my worries. Parking and a 5% shock on the cards. Now, so why does Brian Kerr not like Dundalk? Why do Dundalk fans not like Brian Kerr? Anyone knows that, just let me know, will you? Yes, so questions and ramblings of a loud travelling fan and supporter heading down the road there. Yes, so right, you're going to hear the pitch did hold up okay. Went out on it with my son and we were kicking on the pitch. It was sandy in patches, but to be fair, it did hold up. We'll hear more from J.R. Brennan on about that. And I caught up with Campbell's Building Pave man of the match, Kieran Downey, as well. As you're going to hear from those two, and didn't follow actually and think to get John Haggerty either, his perspective on Loud, but we will get into the talking points later on as well, and I'll have flow of the game and matchups now fairly shortly. So it was I suppose it was a day where lads are going to go home, and every probably team across the country now is going to have to start practicing long range shots from way out the field, like a crossbar challenge, because we've seen the number 5 for Wexford, Jesus, or for Wicklow, can I remember his name? That's what we kind of loud fans come in at that stage, and we got treated to Matt Nolan from Untucker. He was the man who took the shot, and he's the man that everyone's going to thank for practicing long range shots to dribble it in. Because we were treated to a really good thrilling finale with that Kildare-Wicklow game. We thought it might be extra time. Jack Sargent gets the winner. We've seen how vulnerable Kildare were in the league. We've seen how spirited Wicklow were. Yes, then under Oisín McConville, who's rumoured to be Loud manager in the past. Could he get it in the future? On the back of that, you wouldn't be displeased if he did get it, because he has them playing for him. And he's some class footballer and a couple of nice switches he made. And a lot of direct football as well. So, but they still didn't pull it off. And that'd be the worry as well. They had their chances, and there'd be a real worry about Kildare as well. But Kildare's for another day. We're going to talk about that in due course. But now I'm going to get into matchups straight away. So, Loud, there was rumours that Tom Jackson wasn't going to start and Bevan was going to come in, but that didn't transpire. We went with a starting 15 that was named, which is uncanny, isn't it, in today's day. So right now, McDonald starts in goals for his loud Leinster Championship debut. So Peter Lynch goes left full, and he picks up Brosnan. Full back Dermot picks up Sean Nolan, holds him to a point from play, and then Donald McKenney goes out the field with Graham Cullen, and we'll talk about that in the matchups fairly shortly. Colin McKeever switches wings, and we'll talk about that as well. He goes on Kevin O'Grady. who was wearing number 5. So it was 5-on-5. Lennon Gray goes out to left half and he was picking up Mark Rossiter. And then Anthony Williams was kind of direct opponent was, what's his name? Owen Nolan. Yeah, Owen Nolan. Then Tommy Dornan and Ciarán Murphy in the middle of the field. Tom Jackson was kind of playing more. It's hard to know. I think he was inside. He'd been picked up by Gavin Sheehan. Barnsley was being picked up by Owen Porter. And then number 10 picked up Kiki. That was Parik Hughes. He had a good game, to be fair to him. And then number 4, Darragh Lyons went out and Mark Samurai got around the 40 area. And then number 6, Dylan Furlong, who was a good player. He had a good game. He was picking up... he was picking up Conor Grimes, and then Glenn Malone was picking up Ciarán Murphy. So that was the matchup I thought was going to happen. I thought Conor Grimes was going to have the heavyweight clash with Glenn Malone, but that didn't transpire. It was that man, Dylan Furlong, who had a good game, who had a hell of an impact on the game, to be honest. It was one of those games where we're the better side. We've been on the suffering end of these results as well. We think, oh, we've a great chance of beating this team to come down, but we didn't, and they didn't. The referee kept the title. Talk about all that and your talking points at the end as well. But it was a performance where Loud got through and always had that extra couple of gears. We won this in second gear. It's hard saying that as an underdog that's used to being beaten by a team playing in second gear, but we are playing at that level now and of that standard also. So Sam gets us underway with a long range free, and then it was a funny one. The next point was Niall McDonald just punching the ball behind the net. But fair play to the linesman, or to the referee, called back. The umpire didn't want to call it. And Graham Cullen gets the first of 3 first half points. Nolan then gets a free. They go 2-1 up. It was level. We were level 4 times in the first half. It's a sticky L, funny sort of a... Oh, it was funny, so it was. Barnsley gets fouled then, and then Sam Nails a free to make it 2-2. Then Hughes, the man that Billy Dodd mentioned during the week, he gets a score after Conor Grimes' turnover. Then Cullen adds another one to make it 4-2 off the big, huge penalty shout. We'll talk about that in the talking points very shortly. Sam responds with a free, and then Conor Grimes levels it up 4-4 again with a mark. Well taken, Mark. You probably watched this game at home or if you're there, but it's nice to go back over this and just had that kind of therapy and that repetitiveness as well a bit going into it. But Rossiter gets a score. I think it was Rossiter that hits the crossbar and Cullen follows up with a score, and then O'Grady, the flying man, gets a score after McDonald volleys a clearance off the ground to come in a little bit too close to him. Glenn Malone gets a score as well. He's a good player. And then Rossiter gets another goal with a half chance as well, another point with a half chance of a goal. That pushed them to 8-4. They led double scores. You know, they led by 4 points. And they'll be thinking, like we used to think, or we did think even this year against Armagh, we're 4 points ahead. Why didn't we push on? They were 4 points ahead and we did push on. Tommy Dornan showed a lot of leadership. Lovely move, and he gets a score to get us back up and running. And then Downey gets the goal. That just kind of kills their spirit just before half time. Kiki running an angle across the field, tidied up by Anthony Williams, the kind of a layoff to Downey to fire at home in dreadful conditions to miss sight. Rory Tubbert in goals, and he gets the finish. Tom Jackson then followed up to make it 1-6-8. We get our noses in front despite not playing well, despite playing against the wind, and that was crucial. That's massive in a game like this against an underdog. Then we went 18 minutes without a score. That was a 34 minute Tom Jackson score. Have half time, you have 4 minutes additional time, and then you have, so you're probably 22 minutes without a score. Tommy D didn't score, get our first score until the 52nd minute, but Glenn Malone levelled, and then they took the lead through Sean Nolan, and then we levelled back again, and then Downey gets the goal. Just acceleration right through the middle. He'll explain it more in a second with myself and Michael Verney. Sam lets a free just to punish, and then Liam Coleman, who's a pressing midfielder to be fair, he nails a 45. Then Sam gets a penalty. Kiki was fouled, And then Liam swung one over, lovely right foot and score. Great to see him scoring off the bench as well. Bevan came in for his 100 cap. He came in for Leonard Gray. Dan Corcoran came in for Dermot Campbell. Liam Jackson came in for Tom. That's brotherly substitute. And Niall Sharkey came in for Murphy as well. So four off the bench. Probably had impact on it. We'll talk about that later on as well. Rossiter gets one over the bar. Liam swung that over. So we went 3-9 to 11 up. But then they hit three in a row. They're going to make it a little bit more nervy as well. Coleman punches the ball over the bar. Rossiter gets a shot. Gets one from a short free. And then Sean Nolan gets a free as well. And then Sam goes up the field and nails another penalty. McKenny to Kiki and then Kiki Daugherty combination, another penalty. And then Bournesy had a chance to lay it off, maybe a chance of a fifth goal, but he decided to take his score. And then it was the last score from... Porricus. He got the last score, the number 10, Billy Dodds, man. So that made it 4-10 to 15 in the end. Look, a workmanlike, it wasn't even workmanlike, it was just like punching it in, mailing it in, just clocking in and clocking out, doing nothing in between, just getting over the line, doing the bare minimum. And I suppose Kieran Denny did rise above that, and you're going to hear from him right now, actually. Yeah, he picked up Campbell's building pay man of the match. And Michael Verney joined me as well. He asked some nice questions. Got a lot of description out of the goal from Kieran as well. A special mention to Kieran's media advisor or agent at the moment, Johnny McDonald. He was sorting us out with the interviews before. He was sorting a lot of interviews for Kieran yesterday on the pitch. So kudos to the Blues goalie. And then, after that, you're going to hear from Loud manager, Ger Brennan, and then we'll cut back to the talking points. Kieran, it was kind of that inspiration that was needed to kind of rise above that kind of subpar performance.
Yeah, you're right there. It wasn't the best performance in the world. A lot of things you have to really clean up on. Wouldn't be happy with a lot. But look, the first day out is always tricky. It's a blustery day here. Rain, wind, you know, excuse at the end of the day, but it did play a factor. So look, we're happy enough to get up around the end.
Which goal did you prefer, the first one or the second one?
I tell you the truth, at this stage, at this level, I'll take any goal. But yeah, look, I'm happy with two finishes. In fairness, the gaps open up and happy to get through them.
But even playing in the middle, more central, that suits your kind of game?
Yeah, I've probably changed the game a small bit, in fairness. I'd like to think I can play most types if that's needed. In fairness, the boys at the minute, Big Early kind of got an injury there and the gap opened up again, so stepping in to fill in at the minute and trying to do whatever I can.
Is it something you're learning as you go on, or is it something you kind of embrace?
Well, playing at the 40 yards, man, sometimes you're natural kind of used to popping out behind the place sometimes, bit of a playmaker role, and so it's nothing really different, in fairness.
Do you remember much about either goal? You kind of came off the shoulder for the first one, you were going at fairly top speed.
Yeah, in fairness, I could see Kiki coming across the edge, brilliant, coming across the edge of the D there, and I was just hoping he'd hold it enough for me, pop to Anthony, and then I got the release on it. So look, we were probably under a bit of pressure, and it was worst case scenario, pull the trigger. If it went over the bar, I'd taken a point, but she crept in. So
just with the second one then as well, like I think you picked up the ball at 45 and it just kind of opened up and you went away from
him. Yeah, O'Grady, I think, in fairness to him as well, like he's we were watching him, like he's a speed merchant, so I could feel him at my heels. I was hoping the bounce actually skidded on and took me away, so again it gave me a bit of breathing room. So again, lucky to get the finish.
How long are you involved now with it?
6 or 7 years now at this stage. So the boys are laughing from starting, and all of a sudden one day you end up experienced, and on the climbing up the other end of the ladder. I'm only 26 at the minute, so I look young enough, and I'm enjoying it, I have to say.
Nice to be going back to Croke Park for the semi-final, to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, I think it's fixed for Croke Park again. It's where you have to play the big time football, if you want to call it, and we need to clean up a lot of things and put in a performance.
Would you like to get back to a Leinster final again? Just to, I suppose it wasn't your best day last year there, and you probably underperformed. It's a bit frustrating.
Very frustrating, because again, Dublin are that good, but we're not that bad. So we know that we probably didn't do ourselves credit that day, and I've watched it back actually the last couple of weeks, and we were well in that game with a lot of periods. So look, yeah, I'd like to get another crack at it and really, really put a lot of things right actually on the day. So yeah.
Looking tickled there, Dan, as well. Did you get a chance to kind of feel what went on before you went out?
No, I wasn't aware. Someone said just before it was extra time. They got I think they got a penalty, Wicklow or something. And as a player, you're probably half hoping just to get out onto the pitch. So we nearly wanted to win at either end. So Kildare, top team. You know, they really are. Like they're a massive county. They've a big tradition. You know, like they definitely won't be fearing us coming. So. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Is it just about getting over the line the first day in any competition?
There's a bit of that. Look, there is a bit of that. The old cliche answers of, I'm after saying it three times to myself, I'll get over the line the first day. But, you know, we train that much. We put a lot of effort in. We do want to be performing. We've seen a few bits today. You're not going to get four goals every day. So we will have to clean up a bit, yeah.
Brilliant. Joined by Campbell's, man of the match, Ciarán Down. Thanks, well done, fair play. Thanks for that.
No worries. No worries.
It wasn't, but there were collective moments of a very impressive attack play, which resulted in the two penalties and obviously the two goals from Ciarán Downing from play. And to be fair to Sam, very cool and calm and collected and stuck away two penalties. But look at overall, as a group, you'd be disappointed with large parts of our play. Wexford have scored us 15 scores to 4-10. We dropped back quite a bit defensively, allowed them to build up steam. Very little contact in the tackle, and it was just a bit of a flat, lethargic performance for large parts, Colin. But the lads know there's an awful lot more in them, and we can't go and play at that tempo again in Croke Park in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, at various stages they caused you a lot of trouble. They ran at you. They got the scores. They created openings for themselves. Close, obviously, at half time. Second half, then, and it caused you even more problems before you eventually got on top.
Yeah, it's probably only in the last maybe 7 to 10 minutes you'd probably say, right, we should be fine here. But up until that point, it was certainly in the melting pot. I think they outscored us by 1-0 during that 10-minute black card period as well. So I think just there was probably large number of players for different reasons just a bit flat today and couldn't get going. But you also have to give an awful lot of credit to Darragh Egan's Wexford team and how well they were structured and how well they were prepared and how well they were for the match, because they certainly set the tempo and they looked like the Division 2 team for large parts.
Sometimes games like this are decided on moments of brilliance, and we had two of those today from that man, Ciarán Downey.
Yeah, just cracking finishes now, so looking forward to finish watching them probably from the vantage point of a TV. But look, Ciarán is a class act, and he's a great football brain, a great football intellect, and but great moves and great pressure in the build up to that to create those goal opportunities. Probably the last 10 minutes of the first half is when we started to eventually get a bit of a foothold in the game. We started to break a couple of their kickouts. We were slow to deal with their kickouts from Turbert and goal for huge parts of the game. But I think that's probably what got us back into it coming up to half time.
When you got the third goal, that Roy penalty, the first of his two penalties, did you think at that stage maybe you should have finished it off at that stage? But all credit to Wexford, they came roaring back at you again.
No, look, they came roaring back, and the lads were ready for us. Colin Marr boys, in terms of when we prepared for Wexford over the last couple of weeks, they had a very successful league campaign. They won, I think, the last four of their National League games, and obviously Wexford, Carlow last week as well. So they were obviously in good form and good spirits coming in, so they were never going to go away. But what was positive was our ability to kind of arrest back control when the opposition were coming at us.
A lot to work on, would you say, now ahead of the game against Kildare?
Yeah, huge amount to work on. You know, just we have to be a bit more adventurous in our defensive play in terms of stepping up and making contacts. I thought we were just kind of shrinking back quite a bit and allowing Wexford to build up ahead of steam. And again, as I mentioned, in the build up to the game, they're quite a structured and seasoned team, that it was obvious that they were never going to go away.
You got four goals today. A lot of people thought you should have had maybe a third penalty in the game early on, that Ryan Bourne's incident.
Yeah, I'll let you make your own decision. I'll judge you on that. But look, the referee was closer than we were, but you lads were up in the stand. Maybe you got a better look at it, but I'll have a look at the video.
Yeah, semi-final now to look forward to. Kildare, the opposition team that you know plenty about, obviously, from the last round of the National League, but this is a different animal, obviously, Championship semi-final.
Yeah, look, Kildare are going to be licking their lips now, an opportunity to kind of enact revenge on Loud after the last league game. There was only 3 points in a kick of a ball in Dr. Cullen Park on that night, so you'd expect a very close game in Croke Park down 2 weeks' time. But I think it has all the ingredients for a cracking semi final.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Colin.
Thank you. What made you go with
Downey
at midfield? I suppose we've seen that a couple of times throughout the league.
Yeah, well, I suppose you're looking at teams with low block defences, Queeveen, and how do you kind of unpick that lock? And because of Kieran's football brain, his ability to see passes, you're looking to kind of get him on the ball and maybe orchestrate a lot of those attacks. Probably a bit deep at times in the first half. You'd like him further up the pitch, but that was probably something across the whole team where we were all a bit deep defensively and offensively. But in fairness to him, he just showed us a bit of class, which has nothing got to do with me. That's just what he has, you know.
Cavendish open for goal chances, and
that has been
a trait. Taking them has been something relatively new. What is that necessarily?
Then,
how is that happening?
Well, you're looking at what's in front of you and trying to cut your claws to measure. The big picture, Queeveen, is to try to progress Division 1 status, and that structured, overly structured play doesn't cut it in Division 1. So it certainly gets you up from 4 to 2 and gets you competitive in 2. So if it can be evolved to a point where a bit more man-on-man with the ball and without the ball, that's where you'd like to get to. Will we get there? I'm unsure, but part of what you've seen in the National League and on occasions today is to try to get fellas to play with the same front and just go for it.
You were fairly radical with the changes, 3 at one time at that stage in the second half. Third quarter particularly, when you were expecting the kick after what happened. Why was that?
We were a lot of unforced in possession errors, which was kind of quite frustrating when we did have the ball and allowing Wexford back into it. But then you have to credit Wexford; they were very tenacious, Queeveen. They didn't go away. They never gave up. Full of running, extremely fit, very big, powerful lads. Even though we knew where the kick it was going to more often than not, we struggled to deal with it. And they didn't care that they were playing against a Division 2 team. So a lot of it's down to Wexford, I have to say, Queeveen.
Did you feel much pressure yourself coming into today, or nerves in just the first championship game?
Yeah, look, nerves are good, but and pressure's normal. So we were very happy as a management, and then we've a very strong leadership group, very honest leadership group, where we tic-tac regularly. Have we got everything covered from management's end? And the players, are they content that we've ticked all boxes for them as well, and we were coming in? But look, we're going to have to review the build-up to the game, because it was a bit flat. But look, sometimes that can happen. I've played in games, and we've all, I guess, played in games where you're going in as a favourite and expected to win, and sometimes are the juices flowing and the ball's thrown in. I don't think they were flowing enough for us today, and they were certainly flowing for Wexford.
How would you enjoy going to Croke Park on the line and obviously involved
with
a different county?
Yeah, no, it'd be great, because it's first time going in. I'm a shoe on the other foot, obviously played there numerous times with Dublin, and it's just one of the best stadiums in the world, so it's looking forward to going in with the lads.
How would you like now to take more control?
Oh, I'd like us to be far more aggressive in our tackling and step up and not let the opposition build the play, and not let opposition get in the hands and the ball and just, you know, getting themselves into the game. You'd like to be able to be a bit more, and the word I would use is adventurous, where you're closing the gap between you and the ball carrier, and also identifying the ball carrier's options and cutting that off too. When we do that, we're quite effective, Dan, but today we were just passive for large parts of the game.
Is that a mindset or a physical thing?
Mindset.
Even the pitch? Is it tour game out there? It was heavy and flat.
Well, look, at that, we are elected representatives, do their best for promoting the games in the province, and obviously within individual counties. 3 games, given the weather we've had in Ireland recently, on the one pitch, it was certainly slippy for both teams, but both teams have to play in it. You lads are familiar with Darver, and Darver is quite wet at the moment as well, despite the best efforts of the groundsmen, so it was no different to Darver.
Yeah.
That's right.
Cheers, lads. Cheers, Sean.
Thanks,
Michael. Thanks.
Cheers.
Yeah, well done.
See you.
Bye, lads. We're up.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Ger about the control thing, just because it comes up a lot in the talking points, and how we need to get a grip on things, and maybe that's just the way we are as well. Sorry, I missed the substitute in the flow of the game and the matchup. Paul Matthews, he came on, had a positive impact when he came in for Tommy Doran. Tommy got a huge knock as well. Yeah, I thought, like, Sam obviously is in the running for man of the match, Kieran Downey as well. I thought Tommy Doran showed great leadership as well, and Dermot Campbell quite good, the whole fullback, and Niall McDonald as well, in a game where Loud were subpar. But for me, right, so the first talking point is, and it has to be, Kieran Downey's performance. Like, the opportunity knock for him, like, it really did. He mentioned that there, just opened up with Conor early, but he's really taken it. He is the best footballer in Loud, there's no doubt about it. I said that a couple of years ago, and finally it's shown. He has all the skills. Paddy Andrews is waxing lyrical about him on GAA Go. He has all the skills. He gets the work rate in, and he's just been been out of position or tempered or not being able to get into the games. You're like, come on, Kieran, get into the games more. Now he is in the games. He's right in the thick of it. Crow Park in the middle of the field, that'll suit him as well. That'd be very interesting how he gets on. But you want a player like Kieran Downey in possession. You don't want him playing in the forwards, dipping back in. He can dip and do the marking from midfield, and it sets him up perfectly. I don't know why or how, and I understand what Jerry Brennan said, that they played him there due to the low block. But it's funny how it took so long. Like, I think Colin Kelly played him in the middle for the Blues when he was over the Blues that time, and it looks to be kind of stemming on from that thought process to have him in the middle of the field, have him in possession, have him bossing the game, and look at it's. It's finally coming with maturity of age and getting to your peak and being around the thing for so long, starting to put a stamp on things, and a scoring midfielder that can link the ball and cut passes is absolutely massive. So really good, really, really good to see that really display, because it was a subpar display, but we needed a bit of class. And it was down, he's just incisiveness, just to go for the goal. He has that in him where he wants to try it, he wants to go for it, he wants to go for it, not for the spectacular or the jugular, but he wants to go for pure skill. And it's lovely to see, you know. It kind of reminds me in a way of Paddy Keenan. I don't, in the sense that Paddy would go and take the shot and take the point, and he would stamp his authority and crush the other team by kicking that point on the run. It wasn't just thumping or kicking, it was squashing your opponent with skill and class. And that's what Downey did yesterday. Too classy for him. I don't think anyone else on the field would have had the mindset, not necessarily the ability, but the mindset to go for the goal and go for it and back himself with that skill to do so. So plaudits to Kieran Downey. He's taken that opportunity with Conor Early out. It's hard to know when you're looking at the league games, the last one in Dr. Cullen Park against Fermanagh. Was he in the middle of the field? Is he in the middle of the field? With Loud so fluid in the way the game is gone. But yeah, he's in the middle of the field. He's bossing things, and long may it continue. That's your talking point number one. You'll have to sign up for the rest, and there's plenty more to come. I think I'm going to have the Irish Independent's Frank Roach on to talk about the attendances and why. We've got a couple of theorems on why. It's why things have fallen off with people coming to games. I have fair ideas on why, and maybe you can get in yours as well. I'm going to be reading out your talking points at the end of the podcast as well, but you're going to have to sign up now. patreon.com/loudandproud. Sign up, loads in there, loads to come, especially with the build up to Kildare as well, and special guests as usual. And you get a couple of extra podcasts during the week, and you get a free one like this at the weekend. But yeah, so thank you very much for listening, and lucky to the Loud Horrors as well. They were beaten at a Nicky Rackard opener. But yeah, that's it. I'll chat to you soon. Coverage brought to you by Specsavers Drogheda. So yeah, I'll chat to you soon if you sign up. Go on, do it now while we wait. Yeah, good luck. Thanks very much for listening. Well done to Loud. Getting up and running. We're on our way to another Leinster run, hopefully. That is my talking points. Down and Wex out. That's the play on words for the Wexford Talking Points podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Covers brought to you by Specsavers Drogheda. I'll chat to you during the week, hopefully, and I will see you next week as well for a massive build up to the Kildare game. Good luck, bye bye, and talk to you. Oh yeah, I'll have a League All About show this Saturday night. I'll be back again. Man, when I tell you
she was cool, she was red hot. I mean, she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her.